Great question. The Manufacturing Podcast offers news and information for the people who make, store, and move things, and those who manage and maintain the facilities where that work gets done.
Hello, and welcome to Production Call. Today we'll be talking about HP's coming Leadership Summit, held in Indianapolis from June 26th to June 28th. I'm Laura Poutre, Senior Editor of Industry Week. I'll be the moderator today. And our guests today are Sarah Tilkins, Senior Manager of Operational Excellence at GE Healthcare, Carl Livesey, General Manager of Mercury Plastics, and Jill Jusko, Senior Editor at Industry Week, who's leading the charge on the conference. So let's just go around the virtual room really quickly, and each of you can just talk a little bit about your role at your company. We'll start with you, Sarah.
Yeah. Hi, it is nice to virtually meet everybody. My name is Sarah Tilkins. As Laura said, I am a Senior Manager of Operational Excellence for GE Healthcare. I work in our imaging organization, and I'm based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And essentially what I do in my role is help to support our Hoshin Kanri, our strategic initiatives around cost, delivery, you know, effectivity in our lines. And I do that through helping our organization cultivate and unlock lean talent in service of solving our biggest problems.
Great, thank you. Carl?
I'm the general manager here at Mercury Plastics in Baltimore. We operate one of three manufacturing facilities. We also have a distribution facility right next to us. We're a thermoform operation. So we manufacture blisters, clamshells, trays, heavy gauge products, everything from ice cream molds for your ice cream cake to the dashboard for your small Cessna aircraft, and anything in between. And we also have a fabrication department, and we make things like museum quality vitrines. So if you've ever been to the Smithsonian, you've seen our work. We make most of the displays for the real high-end museums up and down the East Coast.
Thanks for sharing that. Jill, what do you do at Industry Week?
What do I do at Industry Week? So at Industry Week, I write, I edit, I help put together things like this conference that we're talking about. I am particularly engaged with continuous improvement. I like to and have for years been writing about continuous improvement. And one of the most enjoyable aspects of my job is I administer the Industry Week Best Plants competition that we have been holding annually since 1990. And yeah, and anything else that's asked of me.
So tell us about the conference, the Leadership Summit that's coming up.
Share the Industry Week Operations Leadership Summit. As you mentioned, it's coming up June 26th through 28th. It is in Indianapolis, and we are excited to be there. It is a 2.5-day event that kind of tries to connect with, or we want to connect with, the audience in multiple ways. We have in-person sessions, conference sessions. We have specifically put together kind of round tables and panels in addition to the individual sessions, really aiming to drive immersion, conversation between the speakers and the audience members, a real learning, but also sharing experience, sharing best practices, sharing lessons learned. We have two primary tracks for this event, those tracks being continuous improvement and technology. That said, we also have, you know, leadership and workforce, you know, the kinds of things that are important to operations leaders who are driving manufacturing excellence on their floor, on their plant floors. And in addition to that, we have three plant tours that I'm very excited about. one of the best ways to learn, not only just hearing people tell you, but it's to see them using their best practices on their floor. So we have plant tours at Allison Transmission, we have plant tour at Enderson Hauser, and we have a plant tour at Subaru, you know, all making different products, all I'm sure employing different practices to make their plants go and different technologies to make their plant go, all engaged in kind of teamwork and operational excellence plans and strategies to make their plants the best they are. And those three plant tours give audience members an opportunity, A, to see the plant in action because the plants are operating. They don't shut down for us. And then to ask questions about, you know, why do you use Kanban here? Or can you tell us a little bit about this technology? How is it or isn't, how is it helping you? How is it making you a better plant? How is it making things easier for your employees or quicker for your production? That sort of things. And then roundtables and other networking opportunities. And I think that sums it up in a brief way.
And the plant tours, they really get to see the shop floor, right? Like you're going in and...
Yes, they'll be out there on the shop floor seeing everything. And one thing I also want to mention, I can't believe I forgot it. Since I mentioned that I administer the Best Plants application, one of the things that we are having there as well is a panel discussion of current and former Best Plants winners. So you will hear their stories of how they got to where they are, their struggle, their challenge, or maybe not, of staying there, and what they are doing to stay ahead of constant competition.
Great. Sounds like a really great learning experience for everybody and sharing knowledge. Sarah, tell us what you're going to be talking about at the conference. I'm excited about your presentation.
Thank you. I am planning to talk about unlocking talent within our organizations. So I have been a lean person. I've been an ops manager for many years. And in addition to my technical expertise, I am also a certified executive coach through the International Coaching Foundation. So a lot of the work that I focus on is, again, not how do we solve problems, but how do we build problem solvers? And I think that so often we're just teaching the tools, but we fail to teach the integration of the tools. So how do I know when I need standard work? How do I know when I need Kanban? How do I know when I need Six Sigma? So really what I love to focus on is helping the individual leaders and contributors know who they are, what they're trying to accomplish, and then layering tools on top of it so that instead of telling them how to get there, you tell them where they need to go, all of the different things that can support them on their journey, and you watch them evolve in just this totally different magical way because you're just unlocking their unique capability of problem solving. So bringing all of my expertise from Six Sigma Black Belt to life coach into a conversation of how I've unlocked talent, how I, you know, advise others to do so, and some of like what I've learned in my journey.
Yeah, that sounds great. And we don't often, we hear about continuous improvement a lot, but we don't always hear about it from a talent perspective. So that's going to be really interesting, I think. Carl, can you tell us what you're going to be
talking about?
Your presentation?
So first of all, I subscribe to the same methodology that Sarah is discussing. She's absolutely right. There's hundreds of tools that are available, you know, and you have to know which tool is appropriate for which area, and then how to make it work. Now the presentation that myself and Dave Rizzardo are doing, we're going to talk about how to make the tools and the processes that Sarah's talking about, how to make them stick. So, you know, it's really difficult when you're in a lean implementation or where you're making operational changes. It's one thing to make the change, and that's relatively easy. You can do that, to be blunt, with brute force. The hard part is making it stick, and will that stay when you walk away from it? You know, how do you make it stay, and how do you make it, how do you find the owners and the advocates for the processes and the changes that you've put in place? And frankly, how do you adjust the plan? You know, because, you know, if you've got a really technical team of people like where Sarah works, you know, they've got some very brilliant people there at GE Healthcare, and the majority of our workforce is unskilled labor. So the plan that works for in her factories won't work in ours, and vice versa. So we work diligently to uncover talent and, to be quite frank, cultivate it. And a lot of what we do, we refer to it as kind of like a sculptor. We consider our leadership people to be sculptors. You know, everybody starts out with the same block of stone. There's a statue in there somewhere. You just have to chip away at all the parts that you don't necessarily want, right? So we talk about mentoring and coaching and training and, you know, when is it appropriate, and at what point do you stop? You know, and ours is a bit of a boots on the ground perspective. So, you know, we're going to talk about real world. We're the people that make it happen. We're the people that are standing out there on the shop floor. We're going to talk about the importance of building a relationship with the people that are on the shop floor and making sure that they understand that they are our greatest asset. You know, and your people are the only asset that a company has that actually appreciates in value, and it appreciates in direct proportion to the amount of investment you put in it. And frankly, we're just big advocates of that. And we've got a lot of years. I've got a lot of years having done this at a lot of different places, and it works. If you can develop trust, you know, with your people, and you communicate effectively, magical things start to happen. And when it starts to gel, which is right after the culture shifts, but once the culture becomes more of a positive working environment, some really miraculous things start to happen. And then you sit back and you can observe it. And to Sarah's point, you know, we're trying to develop problem solvers. We're trying to develop leaders. We're not trying to create managers or supervisors. You know, that's not helpful from our viewpoint. We're trying to find people that are capable of making decisions and help them learn how to make good decisions at the right time, and to give them all the support that they can possibly handle.
I think it's amazing have like two sides of the same coin here. Just Carl, you're finding, like you said, the sculptural analogy there, but you're finding talent in there and nurturing it. And Sarah, you're also nurturing talent. You know, you've got the talent, but you want to optimize it, optimize the use of the tools that you have. You know, I think operations leaders will be interested in both of those things. And I wonder, Jill, if maybe you could just talk about like a few of the other, just briefly touch on what a few of the other presentations might cover.
Sure. I do want to make one comment about what Sarah and Carl just said before that. I always enjoy the how to make it stick, because I mean, it's human nature, like going for a goal, but then sort of once if you think you've reached it, resting a little bit. But also beyond that is, and I think this is human nature until you for a while, is it's easy to follow the program when things are going smoothly. Becomes hard once something big or bad or unexpected happens and you kind of want to fall back, you know, on your old ways of doing things. So I think that is probably a component of making it stick that everybody struggles with. And then I just wanted to make a comment about the trust component. You know, you want to build trust. You know, when you're talking about building problem solvers, you have to build people who trust themselves, right? That they trust that they're making the right decisions, mm-hmm. With all the tools and the confidence that you have in them. So I think that all makes kind of building problem solvers just a really interesting aspect of continuous improvement. You know, we talk about everything, but boy, the people make all the difference. So in terms of what else, a couple of the other sessions we have going on, In our tech track, we have a couple of sessions on artificial intelligence. That would be of interest if you are contemplating or you are using artificial intelligence on your plant floor. We have, again, a couple of different sessions that are addressing artificial intelligence in different ways. So you can take a look and see what they are up to. We have a keynote presentation from Toyota Material Handling, and the topic of that conversation, again, is a strong lean component. They have Toyota and Toyota Material Handling has built a strong culture of continuous improvement over the years, and you are going to hear about that. We have Allison Transmission also providing a keynote address. Also in continuous improvement, we are trying to hit in both tracks and across the conference, we are trying to hit on topics that, you know, work for a bigger organization as well as a stronger organization. And I think one of the very interesting tracks is a smaller manufacturer. He's got multiple plants, but it's a smaller manufacturer. And they are going to be speaking on, you know, how do we leverage our three sites in terms of maybe moving talent around, you know, if there's a need for more talent in one location than another location. They are going to be talking about how we, despite being different plants, how we operate as a enterprise. They are going to be talking, and very smaller. They're Falcon Plastics. They're not a huge organization, but they are going to be talking on that topic. We also have, you know, you hear about business systems, you know, different companies have, you know, I'll say the Toyota production system because everybody's familiar with that one. But, you know, many companies have built their own, here's our operational excellence, our manufacturing excellence system. We do have a company coming in speaking about how they have built their own manufacturing excellence system. And that is a session that I think you'll be looking forward to. We have speakers coming in from Ford, you know, on the larger size. We have Timken coming in and talking about lean leadership at their organization. We have Anderson Hauser is coming in. Not only are they giving us a plant tour, but they have a very robust talent development program at that company. So they are coming in and speaking to that and a whole lot more.
Yeah, that's a great overview. Thank you. Wondering if, did either of you guys want to say anything about trust? You know, Jill was talking about trust earlier and you know, building trust. And, you know, Carl, I know you've written about that before.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's that's the first step in any serious change. You've got to develop trust between the workforce and the leadership. And in order to do that, the leadership has to first demonstrate trust in the workforce. And then and only then will the workforce begin to trust the leadership. And once those two things start to happen and you start opening up the lines of communication and you really do a good job with it, at that point, people, they stop being fearful. And they start being creative and innovative. And once that happens, you know, creativity is the one thing that you never run out of. In fact, the more you use it, the more you seem to get. And it's amazing that the changes that have been made. And I'll tell you just how revelational it was here. When I joined the company, it was Maryland Thermoform at the time. We had 96 full-time people and 22 temporary workers. And we shipped X number of dollars. Last year, we shipped $100,000 more than we did, and we did it with 30 full-time people and 8 temps. So we reduced our workforce through attrition. We didn't lay people off. We reduced it through attrition by about 60%, and we increased our efficiency. Our quality ratings went up. Our scrap went down. Our scrap was at 21%. It's now slightly better than the national average. We're running about 7%. And that includes the little stringers on the edges of the plastic. So that's just part of the normal manufacturing process. But it's all because of the trust that's been established with the people, and it's the cultural change, because that's where the difference, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, when I talk about boots on the ground, that's identifying hidden leaders in the organization and cultivating them, and then growing those people. And it's an investment. You know, it really is. It's something that takes a fair amount of time and a whole lot of patience, but it is worth it. And there is absolutely nothing in a leadership role that I think is more worthwhile than seeing new leaders emerge, you know, who didn't think they were leaders, didn't think they could be leaders, you know. And to Sarah's point, it's the self-confidence or the absence of self-confidence that people have that holds a lot of people back. And by developing that trust, you help build their self-confidence, and you let them know that they're part of a team. They don't stand there alone. You know, now here we call that a first responder attitude. So when there's a problem, everybody leans in towards the problem. You know, and nobody's chastised, nobody's ridiculed for making a mistake. Heck, we're a manufacturing plant. We make mistakes every darn day, right? I mean, it's not a matter of are we making mistakes. Right. It's how do we handle the mistakes that matters.
Yeah.
So I could talk on trust all day long.
It's so interesting, Sarah, that you bring up confidence, because I talk often about how there's a difference between confidence and courage.
Yes.
Confidence is like believing that you know the answer, right? So even in rooms where we were like, oh, I know I'm right, but I'm not willing to speak up because, you know, everybody else is going to figure it out. And that's where courage comes in. Courage is building our leaders to act on the things that they feel really certain of. Yep. And you talk about, you know, I think both of us have this idea of like just creating a sandbox where people can come and play. So it's cultivating a space where failure is encouraged, because it's all in service of building the muscles, understanding again that like it's a journey. And when we invest in our people, of course, we're going to solve all of the problems. But it's just, you know, we got to focus on the talent versus a focus on the solution. And the other thing that I think is so interesting about what you said is so many organizations think that they have a resource problem. Everyone I talk to thinks they have a resource problem. You don't have a resource problem. You've got a problem with your talent development. You've got plenty of resources. You are not using them effectively. So even shifting this mindset of, oh my God, I have to increase my capacity. Step one, go hire 20 people. Don't do that. Figure out how you can utilize your existing talent in a different way. Because I guarantee 40% of your workforce is working at 20% capability. So like investing and figuring out how can you use them? How can you motivate them? That's the secret sauce. You don't need to hire people. You just need to build them.
You're exactly right, Sarah. And one of the other challenges that we face, and I think a lot of companies do, if you subscribe to the lean methodologies and the, I'll say, good leadership practices, what you're faced with a lot of times is people that are new to the team haven't really experienced a strong leadership team and one where there's a nurturing environment. And so you've got a lot of baggage that comes with people. You know, they've been browbeat, you know, they've been treated poorly. And so they're gun shy. So nobody wants to talk about anything. They don't want to put themselves at risk. So you have to create, you know, that risk-free environment, and they've got to learn that it's okay to be wrong, you know, and it really is. But once you do, then there's at some point, and it's different for everybody, they start to change. And when they change, everything about the person changes, the way they carry themselves, the way they talk, the way they treat each other, the way others treat them. It's just revelational. And I don't mean to sound like an evangelist, but I'm telling you, it works, you know. But it is, you know, we're in South Baltimore. The work ethic doesn't get any worse than it is in South Baltimore. Okay. So to find the people that want to be a part of that and people that don't know they do, but to nurture them along is just tremendous. For me, it's very personally rewarding.
If I can make a quick intersection in here, and I'm turning a corner a little bit, but we are talking about talent, and I do want to make one other mention. You know, talent and technology have a tie in manufacturing. You know, we do have Wacker Chemical that will be speaking on digital transformation and building the digital worker, so that the, you know, workers go on to confidence in their abilities, et cetera, et cetera. It's, you know, there's more and more technology with what they're working with, and we will be jumping on that topic as well as what Carl and Sarah and others will be talking to. Human resources all the way around.
Yeah, I'm excited about the conference. I really am.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am especially jazzed hearing you guys talk. What great speakers you are. Thank you so much for appearing today. We've got to wrap up, unfortunately. We could go talk for another half hour at least. But I just want to say thanks to you, Sarah, for sharing a little bit about your presentation, and Carl, just like enlightening us all, both of you, and also Jill for, you know, good thumbnail tour of the conference. We're going to wrap it up here and say goodbye, but thanks to everybody for appearing. And if you want to register, the link, I believe, is on the LinkedIn Live.
I did post it on the LinkedIn. And also, I will just tell you what it is as well. It's IWOperationsSummit.com. IW for Industry Week. So IWOperationsSummit.com.
Right. And the early bird discount ends on May 3rd.
May 3rd. And I look forward to meeting Sarah and Carl in person.
Likewise.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.